All right, how about now? Is much better? All right, well, I said I wasn't going to preach a full-blown sermon because time is short, but you just also heard some amazing testimonies of God at work, especially in our young people and our high schoolers and our college students. And I know all of them grew up at this church, but this is what makes this place special, is that the Lord is here, the Lord is meeting our young people, and because of his transforming power, because of his healing power, lives are still being changed. And so we praise God for that. We give God the glory. But what a wonderful way to celebrate Christmas together as a church family, and to see some of our young men getting baptized right before our eyes. God is good, and we really celebrate the new life that we have in Jesus, and that these five young individuals have publicly professed and followed him in obedience and baptism. I actually have a full-blown sermon if you want to hear it, but I'm going to be brief since we don't have that much time. If you want to hear it, you can join me at New Vine this afternoon at 4 o'clock. But today, as I said, we're really focused on Jesus. Sebastian, you said it right. The answer is Jesus, right? But the fact that Jesus is all sufficient, he's all that we need for our past, for our present, and even for our future. If you've been worshiping with us, we've been celebrating Advent as we've been lighting the candles. And the last 4 weeks, we've been observing Jesus himself as we participate his birth. And each of the 4 weeks, we've been focused on Jesus and the fourfold gospel, which is what the founder of our movement, Dr. A.B. Simpson, emphasized, that Jesus is our savior, he's our sanctifier, he's our healer, and he's our coming king. And that's really the essence of my message today, is that Jesus is sufficient. I know we've covered this many, many times, but what a better way than yesterday celebrating Christmas, celebrating his birth, today witnessing some of the baptisms. I'm going to take it aside. Yesterday, my kids and I, we were watching The Chosen, the Christmas special. And I don't know if you guys watched any of that, but it was a very special Christmas scene of Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem and giving birth. And I think what struck me the most was that as they were preparing, as they got into the manger, it wasn't what you see on the Hallmark greeting cards. It wasn't, you know, a peaceful place. It wasn't a pretty place. It wasn't a clean place. But really what struck me the most as I was watching that yesterday, and I know this is partially just probably Hollywood, but Joseph was sweeping away manure on the floor as his pregnant wife was about to give birth. And what struck me the most was like, oh, wow, Jesus really gave up so much to come down on this earth 2,000 years ago, not just to be born, but to be born in a stinky stable, in a manger full of manure and whatever, who else is there? What else is there, right? That really struck me so much, that God, you gave your greatest gift to us in the form of a baby, in the form of Jesus, in the form of our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, and our coming King. And as I share with you today, I'm just going to basically review all those four things. This isn't the first time that you've heard them, but probably the most familiar aspect of the fourfold gospel is Jesus as our Savior. We all know that Jesus saves. Jesus saved us from our sins, as some of our youth have testified, right? Saved us from our eternal separation from God. But he also saved us unto something, as I preached a few weeks ago. He didn't save us just from something, but he saved us unto something, unto an abundant life, unto a deeper life, unto a transformed life, unto an influential life. And one of the questions I asked you to ponder 4 weeks ago was, why has Jesus saved you? Why did Jesus save Amos from asthma? Why did Jesus save you? What purpose does Jesus have for you as you live your life today? And then the second week, Sam took us through Jesus, our sanctifier, being set apart, separated from sin, and totally dedicated to God. Now, I don't know how many of you wake up each day saying, God, separate me from sin. Because I know that I don't always do that. To be purified, to be made whole, to be set apart to the work of God. Not just a one-time deal, but a daily cleansing from sin by the power of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification isn't just a one-time event, but it's a continual ongoing process. And as Sam shared with us, it's because we leak, because we have holes in our bucket. We can't contain it on. We have to fully surrender to Jesus each day, emptying ourselves, giving up our own control every day, every moment, and asking the Holy Spirit to fill us and to control us. And then a couple weeks ago, Pastor John took us through Jesus, our healer. Just hearing Amos's testimony about how God healed him from his asthma. Wow. So awesome, right? Healing, Christ's healing is tied to his atonement. The work of Jesus on the cross, Isaiah 53:5, by his stripes, we are healed. Not even just a physical healing, but an emotional, a mental healing. God wants us to be healed and to be well. And during the service that Sunday, we practiced James 5, where we were, some of us who were sick or who weren't feeling well, we were anointed with oil and we were prayed for healing. But also that any healing received in this life is really just temporal and a shadow of what is to come. That Jesus promised an even greater healing in the life to come. Last week, Pastor Dave brought our attention to Jesus, our coming King. And perhaps this might be the most hardest concept to grasp because, I mean, we know Jesus is coming back one day, but it just seems to be so far out in the future. And perhaps it's because we tend to be so easily content with this life. We like living here. We like the comforts of this physical life. And we don't really necessarily always have eternity in mind. Pastor Dave took us to the passage of the 10 virgins waiting for the bridegroom, where Jesus is the bridegroom and we are the virgins. And he asked us, have we been complacent? Have we fallen asleep? Actually, all 10 of them did fall asleep. Have we just been merely satisfied with the temporary rather than waiting for the fullness of the kingdom of God? And he likened the wise virgins with being prepared, those that had enough oil, being prepared with the oil representing the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but also the promises of God, developing an intimacy with the Father, an intimacy with our Lord. And how many of us desire that intimacy today? Again, the focus being on Jesus, our all-sufficient Savior, sanctifier, healer, and coming King. This is the fourfold gospel. This is the full gospel that we as believers should believe. It's not a prosperity gospel that some would preach. It's not about health and wealth. It's not about a name it and claim it faith. It's really about the full gospel in its entirety, focused and rooted on Christ alone. A few weeks ago, the church staff, we went out to celebrate Christmas, and we went to an all-you-can-eat hot pot lunch. It was delicious. I really like to go there because this place has a conveyor belt where you can just kind of get stuff off the conveyor belt and it's all you can eat and you can order meats and everything. But what most people didn't know is that there's a secret dessert menu. And as most of the people left, I remembered, I was like, oh, you can actually order crispy fried sesame balls. And so to the remaining tables that were left, I was like, hey guys, don't leave yet. I'm gonna order some crispy fried jindori sesame balls. And I think I ordered 10 of them. And then the table next to us also ordered some. And it was worth the wait because it was so good, so crispy, so tasty, and so delicious. Okay, now hold that thought. You're thinking, what does this have to do with Jesus being all sufficient, right? And then the other point that I want to, not point, but another example, illustration is, how many of you know about the secret menu in In-N-Out, right? That secret menu, or there's a secret menu at Pete's Coffee. Some of these places that we frequent enough, there are also secret items that may not be listed on the menu, right? An In-N-Out, it might be an animal style, a Flying Dutchman, grilled cheese, right? And I bring these two up because our Jesus, our all-sufficient Jesus, the fourfold gospel, it's not a secret, okay? It's in the Bible, but a lot of us seem to think, oh, maybe it is a secret because maybe I haven't accessed that part of redemption yet. I think most of us know about Jesus as our Savior. Some of us may know about Jesus, our healer. How many of us know that Jesus is our sanctifier? How many of us fully surrender and say, Jesus, sanctify me? How many of us really live our lives with eternity in mind and say, yes, I know Jesus is coming back, so I am gonna be ready. I'm gonna wait, but wait well. I'm gonna wait wise. I'm going to be ready. I feel like sometimes as we live our Christian lives, we only claim one or two aspects. But in reality, it's all there for us. There is no secret menu. It's Jesus in his entirety. Many Christians are converted. They believe. They get baptized. But they just stop there. Many Christians believe in Jesus because they want fire insurance. But it just stops there. Brothers and sisters, God does not want us to just believe in him and just stop there. God wants us to believe in him, to pursue him, to have a deeper life, to know him intimately, to know him as our Savior, sanctifier, healer, and coming King, to know the full gospel, not just one or two aspects of the gospel, but to know the complete full gospel, because that indeed is the good news. And that is why Jesus came as a babe 2,000 years ago. Yes, to die for you and I, but to also give us so much more. So my question to you today, church family, for those that were just baptized, as we close out this year, and as we start the new year 2022, who are we living for? What are we living for? Are we living for the here and now, just for the momentary, the temporary? Or are we living for eternities in mind, God's kingdom in mind? As we think about this new year, what aspect of the gospel perhaps have we been perhaps ignoring or missing or perhaps not intentionally seeking? Perhaps for some of us, it's knowing Jesus more intimately as our sanctifier. Perhaps we need to be reminded that every day we need to ask for the Holy Spirit's sanctification, setting us apart from our sins, setting us apart from our selfly ways, and setting apart for his purposes. Perhaps for some of us, it's knowing Jesus intimately as our healer. Maybe it's a physical ailment. Maybe it's an emotional thing from the past. Maybe it's a trauma. Maybe it's a mental thing. Maybe it's saying, Jesus, would you heal me by your stripes? For some of us, maybe it's the first one. Maybe we've been coming to church. Maybe we think we know about God. Maybe we think we know what Jesus has done for us, but we have never ultimately experienced his loving grace in our lives. We've never ultimately surrendered our lives and asked him to be not only our Savior, but our Lord. And perhaps for some of us, this concept of Jesus as our coming King, maybe some of us are like, I don't know if I want Jesus to come back right away because I haven't really lived my full life here. So maybe it's asking the Lord for a more eternal perspective. Why are we yearning for a coming king? Why should we yearn for this king who will come again in glory? Is there an aspect of this fourfold gospel that the Lord is inviting you today to ask him for? Even as the worship team comes up and leads us in our response song, I want to invite you to stand. I want to invite all of you to reflect about the all-sufficiency of Christ. That, you know, as believers, really, Jesus is all we need. Just as Sebastian said, Jesus really is the answer. But for some of us, we take that for granted. We may not have fully understood, why is Jesus really the answer? Why is he really our Savior, our sanctifier, our healer, and our coming King? And I want you to ask the Lord, God, is there an aspect of your fullness that I've missed? Is there something that you want to do as we close out this year, as we begin the new year, that I really want to say, Jesus, I want you to show me more of yourself in this one aspect, whether it be Savior, whether it be sanctifier, whether it be healer, whether it be coming King. Maybe it's all four. Maybe it's just one. Ask the Lord to reveal more of that to you today. As we close out the service, which aspect of the full gospel are you missing? And which aspect of his full gospel do you want to pursue and intentionally know in your heart today?
Just close our service by singing this, "Oh, come, let us adore him."
Before you, Jesus, we say we adore you. Jesus, we adore you because of who you are. We adore you because 2,000 years ago, you willingly came to be born as a baby, to willingly come to this earth to identify with us as sinful people. You willingly came knowing that you would suffer death, knowing that you would suffer pain on the cross. And you willingly came to shed your blood, to have your body broken for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Abba Father, for making a way for us to be in a personal relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus, for the greatest gift that you have given to us as your people. Father, we pray that even as we close out this 2021 and as we start 2022, Father, we ask, God, that you would remind us of who you are as Jesus, our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, and our coming King. Jesus, we ask that you would reveal to us more about yourself, that you would draw us into a more intimate relationship and walk with you, Jesus, in the days ahead. That we would no longer cling to the past, that we would no longer cling to head knowledge, to what we know, but that we would desire to seek you for who you really are, the full gospel, the power of Jesus Christ in our lives. God, we know that we cannot do this on our own accord. We know that we need your Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come right now, that you would descend, that you would come and visit your people again. That Jesus, you would fall upon us because we need you, because we hunger and thirst for you. So God, we ask that you would come, that you would refresh us, that you would renew us, that you would anoint each and every one of us, that you would give us, Lord, your kingdom perspective, that you would give us eternity's perspective, that we would no longer live our lives just for ourselves, that we would no longer live just for today, but that we would live for you, Jesus, because of what you have done in our own lives, because what you are doing, because of what you will continue to do. So Jesus, we ask that as we leave here today, that you would give us your joy, you would give us your hope, that you would give us, Lord, your promises to live an abundant life in Jesus. God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that we can be together as your people for your salvation, for your healing touch, for your sanctification, and for you as you will be coming back one day as our King. So Jesus, we love you and we thank you, for it's in your precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church family. Go in peace, and we will see you next year in 2022.